minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome into the Thursday edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I am Steve Perhatch, joined again by Dusty Evely. My man, what is going on?
Not too much, man. Not too much. You know, I hear something big happen in Green Bay today, which is exciting. But yeah, excited to be here talking some Packers offseason with you, brother.
Yeah, we so I think we've already broken down that Matt LaFleur is going to be the 15th head coach of the Green Bay Packers. But today they had the press conference, and you know, Dusty, it's kind of crazy, but you wouldn't believe that some people had some issues with the press conference.
The LaFleur one, or are you talking about a different team? I have a hard time believing that anyone had a problem with that.
Some people had a few issues that let's see, he was nervous. Gutekunst didn't talk enough. Mark Murphy talked too much. Like, all these
Mark Murphy said a swear.
He did say a swear. Oh my God.
Yeah, I cannot believe it. You know, that I thought, and my biggest issue with the whole thing, if I'm being honest, LaFleur, too good looking. I didn't like that. It made me feel insecure about myself. It made me feel things about him. I didn't like it personally. So
when they tweeted out a picture of him last night, or I think it was Monday, I did a quote tweet, and I was like, man, that dude fell off the handsome tree and hit every single stick on the way down. My goodness.
He is a good-looking man. And listen, man, no disrespect to Mark Murphy, who looks like an aged-out Opie. But sitting next to Gutekunst and LaFleur, who are both good-looking men, like, it's a stark contrast. It's a stark contrast. So, yeah, he is a handsome, handsome devil. I am not one of those people who's upset. I could find things to be upset about if I really wanted to. But really, his attractiveness is the only thing I have an issue with at this point.
And you know he's a perfect fit. I don't know if you've heard this, but did you hear what his wife's name is?
I did. Remind me,
his
Steve.
His wife's name is Brie. I mean, a form of cheese, and it's just perfect. Like, you can't make this stuff up.
Has anyone done a background check into her to see if her name had been changed in the past week? Like, just to make sure. Like, her name was, like, Diane. And he's like, no, honey. No, honey, listen, I need to...
This is what's going to put me over the top.
They talked about in the press conference how much prep he went into it. If he had his wife change her name, that's the ultimate prep right there. So I need someone to dig into this and let me know, because it's perfect. It's perfect.
All right, so I have thoughts on the press conference and the things I see people complaining about. But let's dive in. I want to just get your initial reaction to how everything went, what you think of the hire. I know you did the initial one right after the announcement, but just do a recap. What did you think?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I was excited. I know you had a point you wanted to get to. I'm not gonna, so I won't step on that. But I will agree with you when you make that point, I believe. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, it was a little. We kind of mocked the people saying he was nervous out of the gate, as far as like that's a negative thing. Like it was hard not to pick up on that. It was. I think there's a couple of reasons for that. One, again, they talked about how prepared he was, which means he probably knew what that Green Bay press was like. And he sat up there for like at least 10 minutes without saying a word, just waiting for those sharks to circle when he opened his mouth. So that's one. Like,
I think it was over 14 minutes.
Was it over 14? Okay. Yeah. I was thinking close to 15, but I kind of wanted to, as Price is writing it, Steve, I wanted to shoot under, you know,
that's the only way to do it.
but yeah, I mean, he was a little nervous. He was nervous, but it wasn't off-putting. It was almost, maybe it's just because of his face, Steve. It was almost adorable. It was almost, like, he seemed excited to be there. You know, he talked about kind of the respect he had, and maybe that's part of it, the respect he had for the organization in general, for the Packers, and he started going through their history, and it's like, I don't know, man. He paused to swallow and think for 4 seconds before he named Mike Holmgren. Like, maybe that's, you know, he doesn't really love the history that much. You know, I don't know if that was it. Like, he did seem a little hesitant, but, you know, I'm 38 years old. He is 1 year older than I am. A couple months ago, I had a phone interview, and I didn't see the person. It was 15 minutes, maybe less than 15 minutes.
Okay.
And I was profusely sweating within the first 2 minutes of that interview because I was so nervous. So I know it's completely different jobs. But I mean, once he kind of settled in, once he got going, kind of once he started talking about football, I felt like he really started getting comfortable, and it was fine. Like, it was even from the jump, it wasn't like, oh, he's nervous, it's a bad fit. Like, no, he was fine. So I mean, that was one thing. I thought some of the stuff he really talked about, I really enjoyed. He talked about what was the term he used? Penalty free aggression. I think he used it specifically in terms of special teams and defense, in which case the penalty free part would go against Zook. That means Zook's out the door. You read between the lines. Zook is,
thank God.
Zook is gone for there. I really liked I liked Mark Murphy. I like a lot of the stuff Mark Murphy said. One of the things he said was, you know, people questioning this move about what he did with the Titans last year, and they talked about the Titans quite a bit. Murphy said if he had stayed in LA last year, he'd be the hot candidate, which is 100% true. 100% true. And I know LaFleur, I just kind of pulling back the curtain a little bit, hearing him talk about why he went to Tennessee, what he, like, he grew because, I mean, he was around Shanahan and McVay, and he was like, this taught me, I was kind of on my own, I'm calling plays, I'm doing this thing for the first time. The NFL's not easy. He learned a lot, but he still took a lot of lessons with him. I thought that was really cool. I also thought one of the things that really, really shocked me was Mark Murphy saying, like, one of the reasons he decided to make a move was he felt complacency set in. Which I feel like was fairly obvious before a tight-lipped organization like the Packers. I thought that was really interesting that he used that terminology, that he used those words. I did not see that coming, but it also helps explain why they kind of got rid of Murphy or I'm sorry McCarthy. You know, with the season still going. So I don't know. I thought a lot of really interesting things came out of it, and really what I came away with was I really like Matt LaFleur. He was, I think, number two on my list. We were talking coaching candidates in the first place. I just talked about him a ton a couple days ago on Pack-A-Day here with Andy and Zach. But I'm over the moon about this guy. I've been looking at the film. I went through all of the 2017 Rams. I started going through the 2018 Titans. I love what he does on the field. And you don't really get a feel for a guy how he's going to lead a team until you actually see him do it. But I thought this press conference, look at the way he talked about things and kind of what seemed like his approach and just his personality and his kind of the work he put into learning everything about the organization, I thought spoke volumes. I came away with it really, really impressed and super excited about this guy more than I was going into it.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I think hearing him talk about the Packers, because, you know, everybody was cutting up old Titans interviews and things like that and, you know, playing them. And this is his philosophy on this. And I'm like, okay, well, now we're just stretching for content because he hasn't spoken to the Packers yet. So, you know, now he's officially come out and said things, and I love the things that he said. I mean, you can tell he's a very smart X's and O's guy. But for me, the bigger thing came from the leadership and the aspects of talking about the team. And, you know, have you talked to Rodgers? And he's like, well, I have talked to Rodgers, but I have other players on my team.
I like that a lot. Yeah, that was
good. I think that was one of my favorite things. Of he understands the importance of every single player, and it felt more like near the end, McCarthy was Rodgers, and that was it. Like that's our team. That's the Green Bay Packers. So I liked that kind of switch. So for me, overall, I really liked him. But what I kind of wanted to dive into, and we talked about it a little bit before we started recording, was I don't understand why people are confused by the Packers setup currently and why they didn't want to hear Mark Murphy talk.
People hate Mark Murphy, dude.
I just couldn't fathom what for as long as Ted Thompson has been in charge of the Green Bay Packers, as far as, you know, GM and all that stuff, we never heard from him. We never heard of the trades that could have went through. We never heard of why he really drafted this guy. Why they didn't sign this guy. How this all his approaches worked, and everybody was dying for it. They wanted to know what's going on in his head. How is this happening? So today, Mark Murphy sits down and runs us through the entire process of how they decided to hire Matt LaFleur, and people are just pissed. Oh, why is it taking 15 minutes to go through this? Like, the man's the storyteller. He obviously likes to tell stories. But yeah. God forbid you explain why you hired this head coach.
Well, and I thought it was really interesting. We talked about this earlier, but like I thought it was super interesting I got my jokes off because I'm sitting there and I'm at work and I'm waiting for something to run and I'm gonna get a couple jokes off. But I mean, I thought it was super interesting. He got down to the level of like talking about where they flew and what they did, and kind of like even after the floor thing, he had the thought process between him and Gutenkunst, kind of where they said like, is this the guy? Like, this is kind of the last interview. We're jet lagged. We've done, you know, 10 interviews in the course of 2 or 3 days. Like, is this really our guy? Or do we just feel like it is because we're kind of at the end of our list at this point and no one else really like jumped out at us? And is this just whatever? And he talked about it on the flight home and sleeping on it the next day and making sure it wasn't like a rash decision, which is, to your point, something that people had been wondering about, because it was no one else had interviewed LaFleur. They hired him without a second round of interviews. Why did they do that? Well, then Murphy told us exactly why it was. Like, legitimately took 3 minutes, 3 to 4 minutes to walk through what kind of the post-interview process with LaFleur that led to the hiring was. People are like, well, I don't know, it's too long. Well, we wouldn't have heard anything if it was Thompson. He'd be like, well, I don't know any more than I did. Well, now we know everything. No, it's kind of cool. It pulls back the curtain in a way we've not had it in a while.
Thompson would have walked up and goes, 15th head coach of the Green Bay Packers, Matt LaFleur. And then Matt LaFleur would have started talking.
Yeah, and then it would have been on LaFleur. Yep.
So
you want to talk about nervous today. If that's the case, LaFleur runs out of the room, right?
Exactly. No. So for me, we've wanted transparency from the Green Bay Packers for a long time, and it's starting to happen. And I love hearing these stories. Like, I would rather know these things than have a 1 minute intro about Matt LaFleur from how he was really great in the interview process and blah, blah, blah. And you get nothing. I mean, they walk you through so much. And for me, that was another really good thing. Like, I liked that. I didn't.
Oh yeah.
So for me, that was one of the big points. And then another thing we wanted to discuss, why does everybody else besides the Green Bay Packers know the best way to run the Green Bay Packers? The question came up.
Are you asking me? Because I got some ideas, Steve.
Well, I know we all have our Madden ideas of the best way to run. And believe me, I'm in like my seventh season of 2019, and I should be, you know, I should be running the GM position pretty well.
Yeah, I believe it.
But it's something that boggles my mind. Of they've set up this new system where. Mm-hmm. People are reporting to Murphy, not to the GM, not to Gutekunst. And it came up again. Like, so who's LaFleur reporting to? Well, he's reporting to Mark Murphy. Like, why do people think that this is going to change because they hired a new head coach?
Well, I'm also going to tell you one of my favorite things. This is something I heard last year, and I don't want to put it out there as like this was a wide thing. It's something I saw some people saying, and it's definitely not wide, but it's something that made me laugh and really stuck with me. It was that... why is Mark Murphy running a team? Does he have any say? Why don't they have a football guy doing it? Mark Murphy legitimately played football in the NFL. Like, he has been a football guy his entire life. So it, like, to me, this isn't like you look at kind of an owner stepping in and doing something. Like, I don't know. Let's say Dan Snyder. Like, this is not Dan Snyder. Like, this is a guy who has played football, who has been around football his entire life. So, yeah, I'm with you. Like, this situation was not going to change at all. And the fact that it was a point of complaint during this press conference, as far as like, well, he's still answering to Murphy. Like, this should not be a shock. They weren't going to, like, for a 39-year-old head coach, they're not suddenly going to change the structure. And if they did, people would complain about that because they'd say, well, that's something that McCarthy didn't get to do. Murphy was over him. Like, why suddenly does McCarthy, that's another slap in the face. Like, Steve, my point is people will complain about everything. if you don't know this already.
I know. And it's one of those things, like, the definition of an insanity is doing something over and over, expecting a different result. Like, why am I expecting Packers Twitter to be different? Like, it's Twitter. It's people going and complaining about every single thing in the world.
Yeah,
And then there's dog videos. So
there's good.
They do make up for it. I do enjoy the dog videos. I mean, don't get me wrong. So the only other thing I want to talk about just touch on was with Goody. The only other thing people are complaining about is, you know, he's losing this power. He doesn't have the same power as all the other GMs. And I just wanted to point out too, like, last year, he was a sought-after candidate for the GM positions.
Yes.
And he interviewed, I do believe, and I believe was offered roles.
Yes.
And turned them down because he wanted to be in Green Bay. And I have a strong feeling he knew that this is the type of situation that would be coming up.
Yes.
So for everybody saying that, you know, he's that Mark Murphy, wow, I can't believe this. I feel like this whole podcast turned into like a defending Mark Murphy. And I never would have thought that would have when we started recording this.
But, it's odd. It does feel weird.
Damn it, I lost my train of thought now too. I'm defending Mark Murphy. I don't know what's happening here.
You're defending Mark Murphy. Gutekunst not having power, right?
Yeah. So for me, like people are saying, you know, Murphy went out of his way to go get a young head coach so he can have control over him. He went out to get the young GM and not have him have control over the head coach. I don't think that's the way it's doing it. I think you have to look back at the way things ran at the end of Ted's tenure, at the end of Mike's tenure, and he realized that's not the way we can do things to be a functioning team.
Yeah.
And so he changed things, and I just think people are not buying in yet. But I think you get another winning season again, I think all will be forgotten and everybody will be happy again in Packerland.
Well, and I'm also kind of the mind that, you know, Gutekunst is not powerless. Murphy probably has to sign off on a bunch of stuff, maybe everything. I don't know. But they seem like, I mean, just based on Murphy's stories of kind of going around and interviewing everyone, it seems like there's a mutual respect and a lot of, like, if they're not both in agreement, or at least if Gutekunst is in agreement, that stuff's not going to happen. So, I mean, he's a young GM. Maybe that kind of helps him to have a shoulder to lean on, but I mean, it also could be that Gutekunst is running a lot of the show behind the scenes and Murphy kind of takes the hit for some of it. Like, it's hard to know exactly what it is, but I mean, Gutekunst is no dummy. Like you said, he's not sticking around in Green Bay in a powerless situation when he had opportunities elsewhere. Gutekunst there for a reason, and I think he's got more power than people believe that he does. And I don't know, the structure, like, if the Packers fall into 5 straight years of being terrible, or 2 straight years or 3 straight years of being just absolutely terrible. Yeah, like maybe some things need to be looked at, especially if you look at, like, you know, draft history or free agent stuff. But I don't know. Right now, I would very much like to have a super strong opinion about the power structure in Green Bay, but I don't. Like, I don't know that I just don't care enough, or if I just know that I have just a fraction of the information and there's no reason to get upset about anything. I don't know. I don't know.
I agree with you. I don't have a super strong opinion either, but I guess my argument for everybody saying, well, this, it's not done like that in other NFL teams and things like that. I'm like, I don't care.
Yeah.
Just because it's done one way doesn't mean that's the right way. I mean, there's plenty of teams that, you know, the GM can hire and fire the coach, and those teams aren't winning Super Bowls. So, I mean, I don't understand why it has to be done this certain way. Like, I feel like it's fine as long as everybody knows what's going on. Who the hell cares?
Yeah, and also, I mean, it seems like a fairly smart team. Like I said, it seems like they have a good relationship. Like, I kind of am on the mind that if things start going south and they feel the need, like, they're going to have to change this up a little bit, I think they probably will. Like, they all seem like they want what's the best interest – the best interest of the Green Bay Packers. Like, that's the feeling I get from that team, whether they're completely right or not all the time. Whatever. Like, they've got the team mentality. They've got the, we want to do what's best for this team in mind. And if that's the structure that works best for them, that's perfectly fine, man. That's perfectly fine.
So we'll end the show. It's not official by any means, but from the looks of everything, it looks like Mike Pettine is going to be back. Mm-hmm. Running the defense. What are your thoughts? Because I mean, for me, I'm very cool with it. It seems like there was some progress. You get a couple more playmakers on that side of the ball. I think he could do some real big things.
Yeah, I like it. I mean, I think when everyone was healthy for, you know, a quarter this season, not a quarter of the season, a single game this season. I think they look good. I like his scheme. I liked him when they brought him in. I think the biggest thing, and I talked about this a couple days ago, is just you've got a guy like Pettine who has been in the league for a while, who is a head coach, a failed head coach by himself, and really doesn't have a huge interest in being a head coach again, just because he enjoys being a coordinator. I've often thought, man, if I had the NFL path, coordinator sounds like a lot of fun. A head coach sounds miserable. So Pettine seems like a guy who's happy being a coordinator, but also he's an older guy who has done that before and failed, and seems like a guy who kind of knows why he's failed, kind of has that, he kind of has that within him. So I feel like that could, like, that presence on the team, not just as a defensive coordinator, but a guy to kind of kick ideas around for a first-time head coach, I think is super, super valuable. So even beyond the defense, having a guy like Pettine out there for LaFleur to just be able to go to occasionally and go, hey, man, you know, I'm kind of struggling with, you know, this aspect of the head coach or whatever this year. Like, do you have any advice? Or this is kind of what I was thinking, and kick around a couple ideas. Not to say it's going to happen all the time, but to be able to have a sounding board like that with a guy like Pettine, I think could be super, super valuable. So I'm totally on board with Pettine still being there.
Yeah, one of the reasons I really like it too is, like you said, he didn't interview for the head coaching position and not get it. So I think that is a much overlooked thing, because if you don't want that Pettine being like petty and pissed off because he was interviewing for the position, he feels like he was a better fit for the position, didn't get it. I mean, that's just a recipe for disaster. So the fact that he does not want to be a head coach, he wants to be there as a defensive coordinator. Like, I think, yeah, like you said, it's going to be that as long as LaFleur is cool with it, I think it's going to be a good fit.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. Yeah, I'm very excited about that.
All right. So you've heard it here. Mark Murphy, everybody back off. Matt LaFleur is a very handsome man. And
I've got one more thing to say, Steve, before we sign off. One more thing to say. Has nothing to do with anything we've been talking about. But we were supposed to. So we originally had all scheduled who we were going to cover for head coaching, potential head coaching.
Oh, we do need to cover.
Yes. So we were set up to cover Dan Campbell for today, which was going to be, I think, a really fun episode. I did not want Dan Campbell as a head coach at all, but I think would have been a really fun episode. I just want to share one thing that I found while looking at his Wikipedia page. I did a bunch of research. I had to scrap the vast majority of it. This one thing made me laugh really hard. In 2002, his blocking helped Kerry Collins throw for a club record 4,073 yards, and Tiki Barber rushed for the second best total in franchise history, 1,300 yards, close to 1,400. His blocking, Steve. It was his blocking. It wasn't Jeremy Shockey. It wasn't Jeremy Shockey. It wasn't Toomer turning in a great year. No. It was not any of that. It was Dan Campbell's blocking. I know he didn't. This is one of those where I'm like, he probably didn't write his Wikipedia page, but this strikes me as something where he wrote his Wikipedia page. He was like, you know what? No, he broke the club record, the Giants club record that year. But no. This is because of my blocking. You know how many receiving yards he had that year, Steve? 175.
That's higher than what I was going to guess.
He had 175. So, I don't know. That little tidbit made me laugh. Where it was like, listen, man, this Giants offense was tremendous. Dan Campbell and his blocking is what paved the way. So that is my Dan Campbell tidbit that I do not get to share on our Dan Campbell episode, but I wanted to shoehorn it in here.
You totally can see, like, picture him with his, like, sausage fingers typing things in. Like, he's typing in, my blocking. Oh, wait, I can't write my blocking.
Just mad. Someone told me that Dan Campbell's blocking, a source close to the organization said it was Dan Campbell's blocking. He's typing angrily just with two fingers, just mashing the keyboard because that's how Dan Campbell types. I'm so mad we didn't get to do that episode, Steve. I'm so mad.
It's kind of pissing me off, too. I had a Saints blogger lined up for us to pick his brain about the tight ends coach for the Saints. Actually, I'm probably happy that didn't happen because what is the blogger really going to tell us about Dan Campbell and his tight end coaching abilities?
I'm going to say, isn't Benjamin Watson on that team or something? I can't remember who the tight end is on that team.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so I just would have been like, I don't know, he's fine, I guess. So I'm upset we didn't have it, but I'm glad I got to share that. I've looked at it 1,000 times going, at some point someone's going to edit this and take it down because clearly Dan Campbell wrote this. And no one has yet because no one looks at Dan Campbell's Wikipedia.
At this
page.
Point, I think I'm going to dare you to like put in a parentheses like Dan Campbell wrote this.
By Dan Campbell. I was going to put a sources needed in there. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, I think that's definitely your homework assignment. So you got 2 weeks until we talk again.
We're not talking again because Dan Campbell will come to my house and murder me.
Well, at least we'll know who did it.
That's true. Yeah, if you find my body just mangled somewhere in the vicinity, it was Dan Campbell.
All right, my friend. Well, that was fun. again, Matt LaFleur, 15th head coach of the Green Bay Packers. Mark Murphy is a horrible person, and Brian Gutekunst is stripped of all power. So you guys are caught up on the press conference, how it all went. But overall, we've had a lot of fun. Dusty, I will talk to you in about 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And as always, go Pack Go.
From the 16 of New York, first down, goal to go. Rodgers in the shotgun, Williams to his left, here's the snap. Rodgers, clean pocket, throws the middle of the end zone. And a dagger! They beat Morris Claiborne to the back line of the end zone. The Packers have won it.
Snap to Wild.
Oh, yes! And taken by Jackson in the end zone for a touchdown.
Geronimo Allison.
Geronimo Allison. Josh Jackson, the rookie, recovers in the end zone in a Lambeau lead to the north end zone stand. The Packers have a 6-0 lead.
Pepperd on third down and 3 in the shotgun. Packers showing a blitz, and here they come. Pepperd looking, hit as he throws it. Deep down the right sideline, and intercepted on the play. Spectacular interception by Kevin King at the 9-yard line of Green Bay. Snap to Rodgers, looking right. Throws the right side, seeing Brown makes the catch inside the 30 out of bounds. Oh, he reached back to gather it in, using all 6'5 of his frame. Tumbled out of bounds, inside the 30 of the 28-yard line. Hunter Bradley the snap, J.K. Scott down on one knee, arm extended. Here it is, placement made, kick is up.
It is good!
It is good! Mason Crosby delivers the dagger! One week after his worst day ever, he delivers the dagger tonight. Third and 5, 13-yard line of Atlanta. Snap, Ryan, looks right, close, right down, intercepted to the house, Bashaud Breeland, touchdown, Green Bay Packers. 19-yard interception return, and it's 16-7 Packers. And Rodgers looks it over, takes the snap, blitz on, they pick it up, lofting it outside. Who ducks it under center. From the 29 of Green Bay, and here's the handoff up the middle. Big ball, straight ahead. Here's Aaron Jones, off to the races, to the 20, to the 15, to the 10, down the left sideline, and he's out of bounds. Inside the 10 of the 5-yard line of Miami. Aaron Jones with a first, 67 yards.